Everyone, and welcome to Minute 103 of Season 7 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki our way through the 1995 Bruce Willis action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today as we reach hump day is Jeanette Ward of the Mundane Adventures of a Fangirl. Welcome back to the show, Jeanette.
Hey, what a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Day three. Always fun. Always fun. All right, so minute 103 begins with John searching the ship and ends with Charlie realizing that he has less than a minute to go. So we're left with a lot of tension at the end of this minute, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah.
So yesterday we ended things with John on, well, actually, you know, as we talked about all week, we ended with multiple things happening at the same time. John is searching the ship. Lambert and Connie are running into the school, and Charlie is, you know, playing with his alligator clips. You know, that's what everyone gets to do. You know, they all get to show their expertise here.
Everybody is doing their best to do what they can in the situations they find themselves in. John is stumbling around that ship.
That's right. That's right.
I don't know if searching is accurate so much as flailing and hoping not to run into anyone.
Well, he seems ready to run into somebody, you know.
Just in case, yeah. He's basically prepared, but also he's at what? Certainly not 100% after that fight. Maybe 38%.
Right. Okay, that makes sense. 38% is good for John.
Right. John McClane, 38%, is way better than, you know, anybody else at 38%. It's the equivalent of regular people at maybe 70%.
Yeah, probably, but you know, John is doing a nice job here. That's the important thing. You know that he's keeping our attention, which I think is what the point is. That's what he needs to be doing.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, if John McClane doesn't keep our attention, then you know that's when we get you know, Good Day to Die Hard, and sometimes even Live Free and Die Hard.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
You know, it's much harder to pay attention to John in those movies.
Yeah, it is.
But this one, it's very easy to pay attention to him, and that's great. That's why this is such a fun movie to have discussed for so long, because there's always so much going on. And again, in some ways, John is the most affable in any of the movies in this one. You know, because I think it's because he's more in his element than in the others.
Yes.
You know, the idea of the first two movies is fish out of water. This one, it's not fish out of water, but
it's... No, because he's in New York. It's his turf. He kind of knows what's happening. He's very aware of who he's up against. Yeah.
Correct. It's like, I think the idea behind this movie was let's show you the fish out of water that we've shown you numerous times and put him in a familiar situation where he's not 100% fish out of water, but he's still, you know, still grasping for straws, trying to figure out what's going on.
How good can John McClane be if we find him where he's supposed to be?
Right. Yeah. But they give us the added bonus of having him, you know, like be drunk and stuff like that. So that sort of takes a little bit away from it.
Well, what we don't get to see is the movie that's been removed from this series of where it's just John in therapy.
True.
Dealing with his PTSD.
Yeah, do you think John has PTSD? I don't know about that.
Well, listen. he definitely needs to be seeing someone. There's no way you live through what he's lived through and not have some sort of issues.
He's John McClane. They were all bad guys. Come on.
All right.
It's not like he accidentally, you know, killed someone else. You know, I don't think he's feeling bad about the fact that Ellis is dead. You know.
Well, no, that too. But I will say that he probably needs more therapy than what is provided by his standard, you know, in-house New York City police officer provided therapy counseling. He needs a private sessions with the $500 an hour therapist.
Yeah, which I don't think he's going to be able to
on
afford.
On a cop salary? Not a chance.
No. Especially if he's paying alimony.
Right. Oh, that's right. The
Or
kids.
child support or something. Yeah.
We don't. Do we hear about the kids at all in this movie?
No, we don't hear about kids. We hear about Holly, and we hear a voice. We will hear in a few weeks a voice that is supposedly Holly, but
Yeah.
my assumption is it is not Bonnie Bedelia. But still,
Right.
I don't know why they did it. They were a great couple to have together, and to I'm still trying to understand why they needed to have them split up.
Yeah,
Except for the fact to explain that she stayed in LA and he moved back to New York. That's the only explanation.
Well, anyway,
So I don't know. Do
puzzling.
you think like his pension kicked back in when because like here we have a guy who's a New York City cop, moves to LA, becomes an LA cop, doesn't last there, moves back to New York. So like he must have cashed in everything. And then now has to start from scratch.
What is John McClane's financial situation?
Well, he doesn't do laundry very often.
Well, he only owns what, tank tops and jeans, so,
That's right.
or sometimes khakis.
Right, that's true. Wait, are wife beaters considered tank tops? I don't know if you call
I'm
them a.
calling it a tank top because I'm not going to call it the other word anymore.
Okay. All right, that's fine. All right. But I will state for the record that it is not a tank top. It's a t-shirt. It's a t-shirt. How's that? Is that better?
Okay, that's fine.
It's an
A
undershirt.
sleeveless t
It's an under
sleeveless
a
t-shirt.
sleeveless undershirt. There you go. You gotta call it what it is,
That's right.
It's not a tank top. A tank top we would see his belly. So, yes. All right, so John is skulking around, sort of searching, as you said, not really searching, stumbling,
Trying to
around the
stay
ship,
on his feet, yeah.
trying to find Simon or something in order to turn off the bomb that's going to go off in the school. I love how he just uses his undershirt to wipe the blood off his face.
Which is so effective.
Because there's no blood anywhere else,
Right.
So why else would you do that? And then, the shot changes and we're back in the school and surprisingly, Lambert and Connie found the classroom very easily.
Yes.
I
Well, they had already been in and out of the school all day. So they have a good idea when they see the kids from the street of which room they're in, which I appreciate.
okay, you can sort of give them credit for that, but that's pretty,
Absolutely.
you'd think that it would be a maze for them to get through to try and find the classroom itself.
I'm just grateful they found them when they did.
Yes, that's true. So they find the classroom and Lambert, then decides to try to find the key. You'd think he would have done this beforehand as they were running if he was told find a key that has the number 4 on it.
Well, yeah, but also in a crisis, you got to focus on one task at a hand at a time.
That's
And
true.
task number one was get into the school. Task number two was find the kids. Task number three is get through the door.
That's right. And he plays around with the keys, can't figure it out, and then he just says, it. Get out of the way.
Yeah, just kick it in. No one has time for keys. Let's go.
That's right. He goes, four. Get out of the
I love it.
way.
Also, again, falling into that trope of movies making us believe it's very easy to kick down a door. Now, I've never tried, but I have to believe it's harder than they make it look in movies.
Okay, I have, and it's
Oh,
not.
and?
And I've told this story beforehand. The one time in my life when I was drunk, I needed to use the bathroom in my apartment and the door was locked. So I said, oh, I'll just do what they do in movies and I'll kick in the door. And I felt that I was kicking the door in slow motion, and then in the end, I ended up breaking the door.
Wow, impressive.
And when I left that rental at the end of that year, I needed to get someone to come and fix that door. Through the rest of the
Okay.
year, I had a little chain. I put like a chain hook on there, in order so that the
Sure.
door it wouldn't be 100% closed, but it was closed as much as possible. And then I
Oh
came to
my
the
gosh.
realization. When I was leaving, then I had to take care of that, and and I
Did you
did.
get your security deposit back on that?
I got the security deposit back. Yes, I did
Very impressive.
because I fixed the door and they didn't know it was broken.
Well done.
That's why I wanted my security deposit back. And apparently, I mean, again, this was 24 years ago. So I don't remember what the security deposit was, but my assumption is it cost me less to fix the door than the security deposit. That's my assumption. I could be right, could be wrong. I can't go back in time to double check
Right.
that. But so in my experience, when you're drunk, you can't kick a door like Lambert kicks. I've never done any other experiments about that since. So I can't tell you, if when I'm not drunk, if it would work. And what's amazing is that I still remember the feeling, that I felt I was doing something completely irrational.
Sure, yeah, I bet.
That's not the reason I've never gotten drunk since. I just didn't even mean to get drunk that time. It was peer pressure. It was.
Yes, yeah. It
Because
all.
I don't drink. I don't drink. I'm not a drinker. I never drunk before either, but I was at a meal with a group of friends and they were all drinking and I was like, oh, I can drink too. That's
Sure.
fine. And I can mix my drinks because nothing's gonna happen with that. And the only thing it does is makes you really, really need to go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
And it's a
Regardless of
problem
what doors
when
are between you and the
that is correct.
restroom.
That is correct. So Lambert, it breaks into the room with Connie. They finally find the kids. And as the door opens, this is a great edit because the door opens there and then John opens the door also.
Yeah, really
I
well done.
love the way they do that. It would have been even greater if we the camera took us through that door and then we see John. That would have been an even better edit, but they still do a nice job of it.
Absolutely.
And John starts stumbling around. It's funny. It looks like he is drunk or he's on a boat that is in very choppy waters because he's moving back and forth.
He's just barely hanging on.
That's right. And he finally reaches the cabin. Oh no, what's it called? The
Cockpit? The deck?
and there's an There's another word for it.
The bridge.
The bridge. There's the word. That's the word I was thinking of. The bridge. He reaches the bridge, and nobody's there.
The room where you drive the boat.
That's right. Nobody's home.
And he starts to realize, like, oh, this is very suspicious. It's sus, as the kids say.
Yes. Now, I really love the fact that we then get to see another shot of the computer with the countdown. And can you believe that in the 24 seconds of this minute, and however many seconds of last minute, only 8 seconds has moved since
Yes.
Charlie looked at the screen last.
That's right, because movie time is different than real time.
That's right.
That's
No, but it's amazing what you can get done in movie time in 8 seconds.
right. Yeah. When you need those, like he said, give me 30 more seconds. Yeah, it would have made a difference for him.
Yeah, it's true. John moved very much around the whole boat. He was able to get from down below all the way up to the bridge, within those 8 seconds. So, very impressive.
Yes.
And I love that they have this 5-digit abort code that you have on top, which
Yes.
we don't have anyone. See, nowadays someone would be trying to break the code as opposed to trying to defuse the
Exactly.
bomb.
Yeah, you'd have your obligatory hacker character who's sitting at the keyboard, tappity tappity tappity, and then goes, as they always do, I'm in.
That's right. You'd be like, how'd you get in so quickly?
Yeah, that's what they do. Hackers, they get in. I'm in. Okay, great. Shut it down. Zoom in enhance.
Seriously. Yeah, I don't know. That's but back in this day they needed to do the old-fashioned way of finding a way to defuse the bomb with alligator clips.
Yep. Clippers and wires and yeah.
That's right. And I mean we see Weiss is really sweating. He's getting very nervous here. It's also great how he's doing this all on his own. He doesn't need his team with him.
Yeah, he doesn't. The other trope of like someone having to disarm a bomb who's not familiar with bombs, and then someone else guiding them through it over the radio / walkie-talkie.
That's right. And here you have the guy who would be guiding you through with a walkie-talkie and doesn't know specifically what it is that he needs to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I like that. More efficient.
You know, that's right. And then he goes, "Where are they now, Walter?" And then the response he hears back is "Still in."
Yep.
And the music gets very tense. And it's great the way that they do this.
Yeah. I also, again, appreciate just speaking to Charlie's character. He's not moving until, he's not going to budge unless he knows those kids are safe. But even in that case, he might stay and try to disarm it. So I like that he's checking. I also like that Walter's not trying to talk him out of it. He knows he's going to stay and do it. So he is, and he doesn't try to Charlie or tell him they got him already or any of that. He's like, they're still in there. Great. Charlie knows what's up. He's going to keep doing it. I like
it. That's right. And then the shot changes and we're back with John, who's looking around the bridge and trying to find things. And I mean, literally we get 2 seconds of John doing this and he like grabs something off the side. And then the edit shows Weiss grabbing something on the side, which is great. Also, you know, this is the second time in this minute that they've given us a fake edit, which is great.
Yes.
You know, yes. Taking us between the various, scenes and stuff like that. And then Weiss takes something and puts it all over his hands. Do you know what that is?
I thought it was some sort of powder or chalk, you know, like gymnasts do to, because if you're sweaty and you're slippery, you put on the chalk or like a rock climber to make your hands less slick so that you can get a grip on what you're trying to grab. So that's what I assumed.
Right. So to me, it seems to me like talcum powder or something like that.
Yeah.
Not necessarily chalk.
No, something to absorb the sweat and to make his hands less slippery.
Correct. Which I didn't question it on there.
You know, I just don't question it.
I don't question it, but it just seems like he put too much on there.
It's a really interesting thing to include, right? Because it makes it, it gives it a sense of reality. Because in a movie that's, you know, you don't need that. You wouldn't think about that. But the like, and it's not mentioned or talked about or even covered. So it makes me feel like whoever did the research on this movie to talk to actual like bomb diffusers, they were probably, oh, you know, one thing we always have and that you never see in movies is a bag of chalk to make sure our hands are not sweaty. And the research guy was probably like, oh, that makes so much sense. And I've never seen a movie. Yeah, we're going to include that because they don't address it, but it makes perfect sense. Like it didn't even give me pause. So, yeah. Why don't we see that in more movies is probably the question.
That's true. Now, did you know that talc is actually a mineral?
I think I did.
Yeah, I had no idea. None whatsoever. I did a search for talc and I get like this green crystal thing that looks like the kryptonite from Superman 3. You know, and I'm like, okay, you know, but apparently it's a it is a mineral that's used. And you know, obviously it's in powdered form. They combine it usually with cornstarch, and that's used as a baby powder or some sort of powder to be able to dry things up. It's used as a thickening agent or sometimes as a lubricant. And it's an ingredient in ceramics, paints, roofing material. Many cosmetics have talc in them.
Wow, interesting.
Which I never thought about the facts from that. The word talc comes from the Persian, and it was used for different types of minerals that they used to have back then. Selenite, mica, and talc. So, I mean, it's very interesting to think about the fact that that it's used in so many different things. And Weiss uses it to dry his hands, which, again, he might be sweating, but if he's dealing with alligator clips and stuff like that, it's just a little strange that he would need it at this point. But, okay.
Well, because chances are your sweat... This is too much detail. We don't need to dig into it this far. But wouldn't that also conduct electricity, your sweat being so salty and whatnot? So the powder not only stops you from being sweaty, but also prevents the conductivity? Listen, I don't know. My degree is not in physics. So
Mine neither.
let's move on.
That's true. But unfortunately, there are suspicions that that talc is a carcinogenic,
Of course, yeah, why wouldn't it be?
because it it does sometimes contain asbestos, and therefore
Well, when you were listing
some
all those
people
things that
believe that
can't.
it could cause various types of cancers.
I mean, at this point, surely we have an artificial way of doing, because minerals, their whole deal is like you find them in the earth, period, and that's all we have. So there's a finite amount of them. But at this point, surely we have artificial means of creating powders that are not using actual real talc in them.
Right.
But
Right,
again,
but
my degree is not in talc production, so let's also not spend any time on that.
Interesting. Okay, good point. Right, and then he sort of gets a little bit of nervous with the whole thing, and he wipes the first of all, he clamps and cuts one of the wires. That's what he does there. You'd think he would have done it by now, that he would have known which wire to cut. It seems like just a guessing game when it comes
Yeah,
to the way that he's doing
always.
this. It's eeny, meeny,
Yes.
miny, moe. And then as the tension is still rising, and the music is telling us that the tension is rising, so we see a shot of Connie and Lambert and the kids running, and then she goes through a door and looks up, and the as they're running, she says, "If we get to the roof, we can jump to the next building."
Yes. I don't know
And
why she thinks that how close together these buildings are, but also, you know what? Great. It's a plan. Put it into action. Go.
seriously, and I've regretted to I forgot to mention when Weiss clips the wire that we were just talking about, he says, "No guts, no glory."
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah,
It's the old
which is much nicer to say than "eeny, meeny, miny, moe."
Pretty much. Take a chance, because at this point you're out of time. You might as well just pick a wire and cut it.
That's right. And so Connie, then when she opens the door and realizes that they're stuck, she screams because we look around and we see that there's nowhere for them to go. And then Lambert shows his agility and says, "Out of the way." And then he scampers up a gate fence, which is great.
That was incredibly impressive.
Yes, he does it really, really fast.
Yes, it reminds me of there's a scene in U.S. Marshals where Tommy Lee Jones hits a like 8-foot chain link fence and scales it instantly.
Do you think this is really Graham Greene, or do you think it's
I'm choosing to
a
believe it's
stuntman
really
doing it?
Graham Greene.
Okay.
Is it? I don't know, but I'm choosing
I
to
have no
believe that
idea.
it is.
He's dressed like Graham Greene, so it must be him, right?
I tell you what, if it's a stunt double, he did a great job.
Yeah. But he gets across really well. Did you notice that little sign that's on the gate that he climbs up? It says the number 5 key located in rooms 510-460.
Huh.
Now I have no idea what the number 5 key is, but remember, they needed to find the number 4 key.
Number 4 key, yeah.
Which means that the odds are that in the ring of keys that Lambert has, he does have a key that will open this.
Probably, yeah. But again, who's got the time for that?
He's got no time whatsoever. And he quickly scales it and then says, "Okay, come on." And they start, the kids start climbing up. And he goes, "Get him up there, get him up there. Come on, come on." And Connie's pushing the kid and he's pulling him, and they're doing a nice job.
They get those kids up there real fast.
Yeah. Well, again, movie time.
Right,
So, yeah.
exactly.
And then we get a shot of John on back on the bridge, talking into the CB, and he goes, "Mayday, mayday, Bridgeport Coast Guard, Bridgeport Coast Guard, come in." And as he says that, the minute ends.
Yes. So much drama.
Yes, yeah, and it's done really well. Again, they build this up really, really well. And I've always loved Michael Kamen's scores, and this is a prime example of how they're able to make it that things move along.
It's building the tension.
Right. And then we get 3 seconds at the end of this minute where we see once again the time on the clock, and now we're down to 1 minute.
1 minute, exactly 1 minute, yep.
So once again, in 30 seconds, the clock has gone over a minute.
Yeah.
So they're making up for that. You know, now movie time is going the other way. It's moving faster than before. But, you know, we have the typical movie trope.
Yep, of, that's right. The ticking clock of a countdown. And the tension tied into the ticking clock, and yes.
That's right. And then we see Charlie's hands as he's, you know, still working his magic, even though it's taken him way too long to disarm this bomb.
He's doing what he can.
Apparently. And that's where this minute ends.
Yes.
So, Jeanette, did you have anything else in your notes about this minute?
Let's see. John heads up to the top of the boat, checking his watch, get to the kids. Graham Green over that door! Exclamation point. That's what I wrote down. Mm-hmm. Nope. That's everything.
Okay. All right. Excellent. So, once again, nothing to say about the script, but every Wednesday we have a segment called Jesus Hump Day. Where my guests will give their top five Samuel L. Jackson performances. Mm-hmm. So, Jeanette, you probably have like 8 or 9 on your list, but you're once again going to have to drop it down to five.
Snakes on the Plane is hanging out down there at number 7, just because why wouldn't it be? because that's a movie that really only exists because Sam Jackson is Sam Jackson, right? So I felt like it deserved an honorable mention. You know, is it entirely as good as it? No, it's not. But, you know, I'm going to mention it because it exists because of him. So I think it by default, you know. So let's see. The other one that is honorable mention is Coming to America, because he has a very memorable moment as just the guy who comes in to rob and gets beaten up by Hakeem with his mop handle. So yes. I also enjoy that. Number 5, Arnold in Jurassic Park. I feel like so much fun. Really, the one practical man in a room full of crazy people who's just like, listen, this is a mess. I can't deal with any of this. Everybody hold on to your butts. Him saying hold on to your butts is so memorable in that movie that in a movie of memorable moments, it still sticks out. Fantastic. Love it. Long Kiss Goodnight. His favorite of his movies and one of my favorites of his movies. Him playing Mitch Hennessy.
Nah, 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 nah.
Yes, that. Also, the thing that I repeat to people anytime it fits a situation of like, oh, are you cold? Did you want me to turn on the heater? It doesn't work, but it makes a very loud noise that distracts from the cold. I use that in various situations all the time. This really well done. Also, at the end, his statement of, and it's such garbage, but delivered with such panache of the... well, were you being honest? Well, what she didn't realize is that I'm always frank and earnest with women. In this state, I'm frank, and in that state, I'm earnest. Like, what a despicable line, but just delivered with such suaveness by Sam Jackson that it works. So, yeah.
Exactly.
Long Kiss Goodnight, I'm putting it there. And then, of course, I'm going to say, let's see, rearranging. Number 3... Deep Blue Sea. I don't think you can talk about Sam Jackson without talking about his role in Deep Blue Sea as Russell Franklin. Number one, casting Sam Jackson as the eccentric billionaire in that movie. Great. Love it. Having him get that terrific monologue about ice and how it kills people. And then easily the most memorable death of any death in any movie when he, in the middle of his... we're going to get in here, we're going to survive, and we're going to getting chomped in half by a shark. Just absolute flawlessness in a movie death. Could not happen better. It's perfect. So, yes, Russell Franklin, Deep Blue Sea, number 3. Number 2, Nick Fury, Across the MCU. You're talking about a dude who
loves... You got to pick one.
One movie? I thought I was going but with roles here. Okay. So then I would again go back to Captain America Winter Soldier, that being my favorite one. So, but again, he loved comics, was going to comic stores regularly to pick up comics, saw the Nick Fury redesign, which had been based on him, and noticed that and called them and was like, "Well, if you're going to design on me, I'm going to need to be in these movies." Flawless. I know I use that a lot in this list, but I think it fits. He's perfect in those movies. He's perfect in that role, especially Captain America Winter Soldier, because of the nature, like the spy movie espionage layers to that one. He's great. And then I'm going to say Mace Windu is number one in. It's ironic, right? Because he didn't really get what I would say a moment to shine in those movies. Boy, there's a Mace Windu book. I would love for them to do. I'd love to see them do a Mace Windu TV show where he could get his own kind of adventures. But him as Mace Windu in episode three, yeah, I'm gonna say that. But ironically, that's kind of on this list because of. I know he would love to do more of it. He has said that. He loves Star Wars. Would love to play Mace Windu again. I was on screen the only one to have a purple lightsaber. I so that's on my list for the hope of what maybe we could get in the future, not as much as what has been done to date. So there you go.
Correct. Okay. That's fair. That's fair. Yes, I would love to see Mace Windu and more stuff. I've actually I'm pretty sure I read the novel that about Mace Windu years
Shatterpoint.
and years ago.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I've read it, yeah.
It's a really good one. It's a really good one.
Maybe I should try and track it down and read or reread it, whatever whichever the case may be. 'Cause that'd be cool. To learn even more about him, if again, I because I don't 100% remember reading it, so I don't know.
Yeah, I think we're in such a golden age of TV where all the ability to tell more Star Wars stories in the universe is so exciting, and it really, I love all of it. Look, no one's gonna get me arguing about more Star Wars. Give it to me. Even if it's stuff where I'm like, well, fine. More Star Wars is always gonna be better than less Star Wars. So, I love the fact that we can think about like, wouldn't it be great if we got a Mace Windu TV show set during the time, do different. Where he went to a different campaign on a different planet each week, great. Give me that. Fantastic. Or maybe he survived. Look, we see him get blown out a window, missing a hand. We don't know what happened. Maybe he went into hiding. What's he doing in hiding? Maybe he's helping rebellion. Maybe he's teamed up with Saw Gerrera. What would you give for a weekly TV show with Forest Whitaker and Sam Jackson starting the rebellion on the underground while Stellan Skarsgård's character works to launch it from inside the Republic Senate? Whew, give me that show. Anyway, moving on.
Oh, that would be amazing. That would definitely be amazing. All right. Thank you very much for that, Jeanette. Why don't you once again tell people where they can find Jeanette Ward?
Yeah, absolutely. You can find me on all over your socials. Really, the best bet to find me is over there on the Instagram at j.y.ward. You can check out the reviews, which again, the site is not up to date, but jwardadventures.blogspot.com. And then check out my belly dance troupe, see what we're up to, tamarindbellydance.com.
All right, excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram, find me on my website, moveroundminute.com. And if you feel like send me an email, send it to moveroundminute@moveyourup.net. Until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay!
Yippee-ki-yay!
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah! Hoorah! We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah! Hoorah! The men will cheer, the boys will shout, the ladies they will all turn out, and we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.